what it's about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome to a Thursday night. It is Nicole Sandler here with you on Air America Radio, and we are jam-packed tonight. We have so much going on, and so I hope you will stick around for the next 2 hours. Yes, tonight's one of those nights when I really could use three, but we'll pack it into two. Let's start off with what's going to happen in the second hour. At the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Howie Klein, an old friend of mine, actually more of an old acquaintance. I met Howie years ago when I worked in Los Angeles as a rock and roll disc jockey. He was the president of Reprise Records for many years. And since he retired from there, he has been writing the blog at downwithtyranny.com, and his stuff is just spot on. Howie just got back from a month in Asia on vacation, and the whole time he was gone, he kept blogging, and he's got some great insights on, of course, the issue of the moment and the issue that has dominated this show and will, at least for the next month, I'm sure, healthcare reform. So we'll be joined by Howie Klein live between 12 and 12:30 Eastern. Then a couple of recorded interviews I did just in the last few hours. I caught up with David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org, DavidSwanson.org, Democrats.com, and you name it. He is my activist guru. He was up on Capitol Hill today talking about healthcare. He was at the single-payer rally that took place in D.C. today, so he'll give us an update on what went on there, what we can expect over the next month, and what we can do to push as hard as we can to get real healthcare reform. Then I was lucky enough to record an interview shortly before I spoke to David Swanson with Dr. David Shiner. If the name sounds familiar, it's because he was President Obama's personal physician for 22 years, right up until the president took office and moved to Washington. And, you know, now he's got the White House doctor following him around every day. But so Dr. David Shiner, a huge single-payer advocate, he spoke at the rally today. He will be with us also in the last half hour of the show tonight. In the next half hour, I will be joined by Richard Wolff. You know him, you love him. He filled in for Keith Olbermann again tonight on Countdown. We talk about that and his new book, Renegade, The Making of a President. All right. We are live. 866-303-2270 is the number. And you can also participate in our live chat. We got a lot of people in the room right now. To get there, just go to my blog at radioornot.com. All the way down on the bottom, there's a link that'll bring you to the chat room and join in the fun. And right now, joining us from her home in Alaska, no, it's not her, it's our other favorite Alaskan, actually our more favorite Alaskan, Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress. Hey, Christy, I'm exhausted just running down what we've got coming up tonight.
This is a great show. I can't wait to be off the air so I can listen to you.
Cool. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff jam-packed into 2 hours, but I wanted to get you in here because, you know, I've been so centered on the healthcare issue that, you know, a lot of other stories seem to, you know, pass me by. And again, with 2 hours, there's just so much you could do. And I have to realize I can't deal with everything, like, you know, the beer party at the White House today.
Right, right. And all of the, my gosh, they actually had a countdown on CNN this afternoon to the beer party at the White House. I'm taking away CNN's countdown privileges because someone got a countdown clock for Christmas, I think, and just wants to use it for everything, and it's making me crazy.
You know, I didn't see any of the, you know, the big meeting, but I did happen to turn on, I got done with some of my work around 7:30, and I flipped on MSNBC to watch Hardball, and I saw the live press conference with the cop. And then afterwards, Chris Matthews was just falling all over himself to talk about how impressive this cop was and how he's got a political future ahead of him.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't seen that yet. Thanks for pointing out. I have my Hardball actually taped on my DVR, recorded on my DVR. But I'm actually glad at least that was something slightly substantive because a lot of the focus today has been on the beer.
Yeah.
And everyone seemed to have a very specific idea about what kind of beer should be served and what kind of beer shouldn't be served. And, you know, people were mad at Obama because Bud Light is actually owned by Anheuser-Busch, which is owned by some Belgians now.
Right,
and
right.
My favorite part was the Christian Society of Temperate Ladies still exists since, you know, the 1920s.
Yeah.
And they came out, they actually are enough together that they had a statement today about how they were disappointed in his decision to serve alcohol and wanted him to serve lemonade. And I thought, wow, I have not heard about you guys since, like, reading about prohibition in social studies.
Right. Well, see, and I'll take it a step further. See, I don't like the taste of beer. I like a good, fine red wine, but I don't like beer. What about, you know, why I'm of the mind, and this is a topic for another day, obviously, and a topic that I've dealt with quite a bit on the show as well, but I think marijuana is a much less dangerous drug than alcohol. So I would have rather seen them sitting around, passing around a joint, and really contemplating, you know, the universe.
I now need a T-shirt of that image exactly. Well, I was thinking Glenfiddich today just announced they have a new bottle of single malt scotch that's going to sell for $16,000.
I saw that. Who is going to pay for something like that? I guess if you're the CEO of one of the health insurance companies, you can afford it.
Quite possibly, but I said to myself, if I ever get invited to the White House and get to pick my booze, I'm picking that one because there's no way I'll ever afford it on my own. So that's my own personal pick, I think.
You think they'd have that at the bar?
Probably not, but a girl can always dream, I guess.
Right. Now, maybe they would, though, because, and we're speaking with Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress. I just read when the Obama family goes on vacation in August, they're going to go up to Martha's Vineyard, and they're going to rent an estate at the cost of like $30,000 for a week.
Absolutely.
Or a night or something insane like that.
I read that, too, and just thought, oh, good golly. But, you know, they don't hide the fact that they're wealthy, and you have to be wealthy these days to become president of the United States. And so as long as it's not taxpayer money, I guess that's fine.
They also don't travel lightly. I would, you know, they've got to bring with them the staff and the Secret Service and all the people that have to go with them when they do go on vacation. They don't just get to go the four Obamas. Right.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they have to bring that much stuff and that many people when they go from the White House two blocks down to the Starbucks, too. So it's they're getting used to having to travel with the giant entourage, I think.
Huh. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the stories you sent along today, because you put together a great website, MikeCheckRadio.org, with some of the stories that, yes, do occasionally fly under the radar. You did mention the Glenfiddich. I don't even know that stuff.
One of the Glens.
One of those things. I love the Medals of Honor story.
I think this is really neat, actually. And Barack Obama today announced who he was going to nominate to be recipients of his first Medals of Honor. And this is, I think, a really important story in that, you know, during the George Bush years, the Medals of Honor became a late-night joke, because he was giving them to people like Paul Bremer, whose mm-hmm. big achievement was helping to get us into the Iraq War. And I think he gave one to George Tenet, who
yep.
was kind of the same, and neocon Norm Podhoretz, and just some people that most people thought were very political and not really your traditional recipients of a Medal of Honor, which is supposed to be given to someone who's proved themselves to be a great American. And so Barack Obama announced today that he is calling on people who have blazed trails and broken down barriers, as he put it. And his list includes, for example, Sandra Day O'Connor, the former Supreme Court Justice, and Billie Jean King, and Harvey Milk,
mm-hmm.
and former Republican congressman and former NFL quarterback Jack Kemp, who is crossing party lines. It was just a neat list.
And Ted Kennedy.
And Ted Kennedy, yes.
Yeah, so that's a great list. Those are people that I can see getting, you know, the Medal of Honor, and as opposed to the ones, as you mentioned, that George Bush gave out, which were just embarrassments.
And I think General Tommy Franks was on that
yep.
list, too. And yeah, and, you know, it's just part of, you know, we all said in November after the election, the grown-ups are back in town. And it just was one more, you know, someone with a bucket and bleach scrubbing out the last remnants of the frat boy party that was there for 8 years and saying, look, the grown-ups are back here to, you know, to have some order and some dignity and some grace.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I like that, too. Christy Harvey is with us from the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break, come back on the other side with more of these news stories that, again, I don't have a chance to cover otherwise, because we are going to get full board into health care reform today. And again, in the next half hour, my interview with Richard Wolff, author of Renegade, The Making of a President. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And Christy Harvey is with us from the Center for American Progress with her theme music, courtesy of Senator Al Franken playing in the background. And a little something for you from a fellow Alaskan.
Awesome Alaska night. Sensing summer already winding down, with fireweed near full bloom, finally sitting down to pen, listening to Big and Rich. Left you Nalakeet warmth for rain in Juneau tonight. No drought threat down here ever, but consistent rain reminds us no rain, no rainbow.
That is my favorite. William Shatner doing a return stint on with Conan O'Brien last night, this time reading the poetry that is the Twitter of Sarah Palin. Conan just, you know, he knocked it out of the ballpark with that one, Christy.
Oh, I love it. And I love that William Shatner has been able to have yet another career resuscitation based on his beatnik poetry provided by Sarah Palin. It's fantastic.
It is so funny. Now, I thought that was going to be it for Sarah Palin tonight, but she is the gift that keeps on giving.
She is, and this is just breaking. This popped up on Politico, I think, like an hour ago, if even that. And it just turns out that the woman's never met something she didn't like to quit. She has pulled out of being the keynote speaker at that speech at the Reagan Library on August 8th.
Too funny. I guess she was afraid William Shatner might...
People have been talking about this speech for 2 months now.
Right, and the fact that press was not invited...
Press not invited, and whenever there was an article last weekend about her resignation, they mentioned her first public appearance was going to be at this speech. And today, just a few hours ago, or an hour ago, her spokesperson, Megan Stapleton, put up on her Facebook page that she was shocked, just shocked, that people thought Sarah Palin was planning to go to this speech because she wasn't, and she had never confirmed it. And so she's just not going to go.
And not only that, there was all this speculation that Sarah Palin was going to, you know, quit in the middle of her term to cash in as a broadcaster. And the word came out today in some of the trade publications that Clear Channel Radio, which through Premier is one of the biggest syndicators out there, they syndicate Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and many others, that they've passed on her because they don't think she can do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Well, and I have a theory about this, because you of all people, Nicole, know that it's a challenge to sit down and talk for 3 hours a day. And she, I think, you know, she gives these strange but randomly stirring speeches, but when have you ever heard her have a good conversation?
Well, never. She says also a lot, and too, but she, you know, as even in these tweets, she doesn't make any sense. She can
doesn't
ramble.
Doesn't make any sense, and she has no ability to go back and forth with someone,
right.
And so I just don't think she was ever cut out for this as much as the right wing was hoping she would be their next Rush Limbaugh.
Right, right. Interesting.
It's just so strange.
It is. All right. Again, the gift that keeps on giving. And somehow I think when we talk again next Thursday night, there will be more Sarah Palin stuff to talk
I don't know.
About.
When I go to sleep every night, I just put out wishes into the universe that I could have a Sarah Palin-free week. Just 1 week. That's all I want.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's talk about, I hate this story, but it is a firm reminder of the madness that was the Bush administration. Electrocutions.
Yeah, there's a new report that just came out from the Inspector General of the Pentagon, and it's being called an atrocious report into what happened with the electrocutions of American soldiers over in Iraq. And Staff Sergeant Ryan Maseth died taking a shower because he was electrocuted.
Right.
And the wiring had been done by KBR, one of the government contractors. And they basically said, we had nothing to do with this. This was a fluke. This isn't our fault. We're not going to take responsibility for it, and ran away. And this report now puts the blame for his death squarely in the court of KBR. They said there were multiple failures, first by a contractor KBR and second by the U.S. military for not properly overseeing what KBR was taking money to do.
Yeah, and you know what? There was more than one of these types of electrocutions. This happened a number of times.
So, it did. It did. Yeah. They didn't ground things properly. They didn't wire things properly. They, you know, got paid properly, but that was the only thing that really happened that, as it was supposed to. And people died. I think there were three deaths specifically tied to these showers that they supposedly wired.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right,
we've
got a minute left, and since healthcare is my issue on this show for the foreseeable future, you say it turns out that the more Americans know about a public option for healthcare, the more they like it?
I like this story. Yes, there was a new poll done by New York Times CBS, and they found that when they just asked Americans, do you support a public plan in healthcare, the numbers weren't so great in past polls. So they went in this time, and they got specific, and they said, would you favor or oppose the government offering everybody a government-administrated health care plan, like Medicare, that would compete with private health insurance plans? And the number skyrocketed, because people don't really understand what it is, and it's getting painted in a weird way by the right. So when it was explained in very, very simple and stark terms, 66% of Americans said they would favor a public government option.
There you go.
I like that.
I like that, too, and a perfect note to say thank you for this week. Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress at AmericanProgress.org. Always a pleasure, and I'm going to pick up on that in the next hour. But when we come back, Richard Wolff from MSNBC, author of Renegade, The Making of a President. Don't go away.